Praise the Lord, it's chat time.
Praise the Lord.
It's chat time again.
Yes, praise the Lord, it's chat time once again. And now this week we will continue to discuss current events and scriptures.
Praise the Lord. So it's that time of the program where we ask you, did you ever hear of this phrase before? And it's called a mess of meat. Well, it means some choice dish sent by a king to a guest. Or it's a great quantity of food that is set on a table all at one time. And you can find it in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 8, and it reads, "And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king." And there you have it. It came from the King James Version of the Bible. So I want to continue with what we started last week when we were going to talk about judging angels. And it never occurred to me that we would be judging angels. And I don't know what that means. What does it really mean to judge angels? You can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3.
Yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3 reads, "Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?"
So I read that and I was kind of mixed up. I was kind of confused. I'm thinking, I know God judges us at the end of the, you know, when he comes, you know, he judges us. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking, how do we judge angels? I mean, how are we going to even know what to judge about an angel?
We'll know when we're there. It's going to be by the word of our testimony.
And then in verse 2, it says the saints are going to judge the world. Mm-hmm. Well,
and I believe it's by our testimony, by the words of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb.
And I was listening to somebody on the radio once, and they were talking about judging the world and judging angels. And he was saying that, you know, when the end time comes, it's like those that are saved, we're going to just be up there. It sounded like what he meant was like we're going to be right along with the Lord, and we're going to sit back and we're going to be judging the world and judging people. I mean,
yeah,
judging
but he can only go
angels.
By his imagination as to, he can only go by what he knows as things are connected to this life. That's the Lord hasn't given man a vision beyond his experience with this world. So whatever he's envisioning is connected to the way we see the world right now. But like, it says in scriptures, we don't know how we shall appear, but we know we'll be just like him. We know this, that he said, how do we overcome? And I believe by the words of our testimony, the fact that we testify of Jesus Christ as God and as our deliverer, as the Holy Spirit, as truth, and the blood of the Lamb. So when we do judge, it's through by giving God the glory. And the glory that he gets out of our life simply because we trusted in him. So now how the Lord sets it up, you know, I mean, man can only envision a court because that's what we have here.
That's what we're familiar with.
Right.
But it never occurred to me that we would be, how in the world are we going to be able to judge angels? I mean,
by our testimony.
Just, I know they're our testimony, but they're messengers of God.
I believe he's talking not angels. He's talking about the fallen angels.
Oh,
you know,
it doesn't say that though.
Anymore. I know, but you know, we're not going to be judging Gabriel or Michael.
I know.
But by our testimony, the fact that God has saved us and brought us through, we're going to end up judging angels in the sense that our life, our testimony is going to condemn them. The fact that the Lord's word is true, that he said he would give us grace, he would give us peace, he would give us everlasting life, we would have favor with him, we would be with him forever. That testimony judges them. That testimony tells them that the Lord's word is holy and his word is true.
All right, so I never pictured judging anybody, the world, let alone angels or fallen angels, or because I thought we were just going to be judged. We were going to be standing before the Lord, and he was going to be judging us, you know, and
yeah, but even that, how people picture that, it's not, it's those who are covered in his blood and whose name, our names written in the book of life. He looks at us and says, well done. But the judging part, according to their works, see, when he looks at those who trust in him, we're judged by our faith. He looks at us and sees faith, and he just says, well done. But those who do not trust in the Lord, who will not receive salvation, he judges them by their works, which means they're already condemned. Because no man can be saved by his works. So when he's talking about judging, when saints stand before the Lord, he sees the blood of Christ. He sees that our heart.
I know, but I guess I never pictured the fact that we would be just giving our testimony or praising the Lord or doing in that moment where he's judging the world, and that we would participate in something like that.
Well, I don't know how.
I mean, I'm taking it literally that we would participate in judging the world.
Yeah, but we don't know in what capacity. See, we don't know how the Lord has set it up. We don't know that just by praising God and giving him the glory, the fact that we have risen in the first resurrection and those who have been translated and caught up in the air, that just by our presence of saying that God is God and that Jesus is Lord, just by our presence giving him the glory, condemns those, which is what judging does, condemns those who rejected him. So we don't know. We just know that we shall be with the Lord.
Well, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we just finished Halloween. Mm. You know, a lot of people celebrated Halloween. Mm. And I ran across this article on SpiritDaily.com. And it says that there is a degree in magic to be offered at the University of a degree in magic to be offered at University of Exeter in the UK.
Oh, figures.
For the 2024 season. It's going to be one of the first in the United Kingdom. The innovative.
The Harry Potter Bachelor of Arts.
MA in magic and occult science has been created following a recent surge in interest in magic. Hmm. It would offer an opportunity to study the history and impact of witchcraft and magic around the world on society and science. 1 year program starts in September of 2024. So can you imagine you're going to be studying this for a whole year?
Yeah, I bet you're going to be all kinds of spirits in that place. Boy, I can only imagine.
So academics with expertise in history, literature, philosophy, archaeology, sociology, psychology, drama, religion will show the role of magic on the East and the West.
Uh-huh.
The university said it was one of the only postgraduate courses of its kind in the United Kingdom to combine the study of the history of magic with such a wide range of other subjects.
Uh-huh. It's a degree in deception.
Well, anyway, in looking this up, I also ran across, you know, that there is such a thing as satanic flea market in London. I don't know what's going on in the UK.
Well, you know, they always have had that that stigma when it comes to witches and witchcraft and warlocks, elves, fairies, gnomes, you name it, they've got it.
They had
in their history, in their fairy tales, in their folklore.
They had a flea market just this past October, and there's one coming up in December, which is called Anti-Christmas. And there's a Facebook page and an Instagram page. Not that I'm promoting it, but I can't believe it. I mean, it's like several times a year that they have this satanic flea market.
And you know how people have deceived themselves to the point where they think it's all right to stand in, it's like to stand against the Spirit of the Lord, to stand against His Word. They feel like there's no fear there. There's no reverence. There's nothing. They come out and they stand against God and provoke Him to anger, but they don't think anything of it.
And the same minister that I was listening to about, that was talking about judging angels and judging the world, and recently he was talking, it's a call-in show. I think his name is Andrew Farley. But anyway, a woman called in and said that during the just before Halloween, there was a sermon at church about trick-or-treating and opening up yourself to demons and not to worship, devils and all that other all that stuff that comes with Halloween.
Thinking you're disguising yourself against evil spirits who have risen from the grave.
And I thought he was going to come out and say, well, you know, you shouldn't practice that. You shouldn't. I thought he was, instead he was saying that what you have to know is that, or what people should, they shouldn't have sermons about stuff like that. Because he feels like what they should be preaching, ministers and pastors and all that, they should be preaching about Jesus and the gospel. And once you're saved, when you're saved, that Lord comes into your life, and He comes in and He cleans house, and you're sanctified, and nothing can touch you after that.
So what is he saying? So then you can participate in Halloween, don't have to worry about any repercussions. I mean, what is he trying to say?
I was trying to listen, because there were several people that called in about demons and stuff like that, and he was saying that it almost irritated him that people were asking about that. And I thought, you know, because one man was saying that, what about Saul opening up himself
to the soothsayer who was raising Samuel from the
and
grave.
How Saul was possessed or by a demon to the point where he was so vexed, and David had to play the harp and stuff like that. And he feels like nothing can touch you once you're saved. And he said you can sin, but you still are saved.
No, that's backwards. He's just backwards.
Unless I misunderstood him.
Nothing, as long as the Lord... As we allow the Lord to hide us under the shadow of His wings, to cover us with His blood, to hold us in the palm of His hand, nothing can touch us. But even Paul had to give instruction how you don't align yourself with the world. You don't do those things, you know, like the Gospels, like in John. You don't invite those who are antagonistic to the truth. You don't welcome them in and partake just like they are of equal status, and it's okay that they're anti-Christ. You don't join yourselves. What does light have to do with darkness? It doesn't have anything. So he should have been saying nothing can touch a saint as long as they're under the umbrella of the Lord. But saints should know that they have to separate themselves.
No, he didn't say anything about, he really didn't, he says... He just felt irritated because he felt like people aren't preaching the gospel, that they're not preaching.
They're preaching the gospel, but I'm thinking he might be thinking that they're doing that in a spirit of fear, like they're fearful of the unclean spirits, like they're fearful of the myths that go along with Halloween, with the demons. And I'm thinking he's saying they can't harm you, but still, even though we know that God's protection be about us, you still don't have any connection or any allegiance with things like that, because it's contrary to God's word. And saints, I know there are churches thinking that they're doing their youth a favor because they don't want them to feel left out of the world. So they held these Halloween little gatherings at the church. I think that's ridiculous. And if candy is that important to them, something's wrong. You know, they have to know that it's not of the Lord. It does not glorify God. It takes away from the word of God. And they just don't participate in it. That's all there is to it.
Well, anyway, moving on. I found this on MyChristianDaily.com. And this is an article that talks about a drag queen that was arrested in the Philippines for obscenity.
Okay.
The drag queen was impersonating Jesus, dressed up as a drag queen. This guy has a beard and all.
And all that heaviness.
And dressed up as a woman.
Just stupid.
A red wig and all and this.
That's just somebody that feels to me like they're nothing. And therefore, they have to draw attention to themselves.
But what was interesting about this is that we tolerate all that stuff here in the United States. But this is in the Philippines, and the drag queen was arrested after the country's officials found his performances to be obscene.
Mm-hmm.
He goes under the stage name of Pura Luca Vega and was arrested recently over his performance as Jesus Christ reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if some drag queen did that over here in the United States,
and you arrested them,
they wouldn't even arrest them. No. What police officer would do that?
And if you were standing out there quoting the scriptures and saying how the Lord can still save you, they would get you and take your Bible and throw you in jail.
The video performance by this drag queen sparked criminal complaints by Christian groups not too long ago. And now, just how long do you think he faces in jail? Up to 12 years under the Catholic majority country's obscenity laws.
Okay.
Now that's what...
He was blasphemous. And a lot of Asian countries have laws against profanity and things like that. So they must have a law also against blasphemy.
The video features a bearded pageant dressed as Jesus Christ performing a rock version of the Lord's Prayer in Tagalog. But it's since been deleted, so you can't see that.
Yeah.
The Philippines for Jesus movement, comprising Protestant church leaders, registered the first criminal complaint with the Manila prosecutor's office at the end of July.
Mm-hmm.
The second complaint was filed in August by another Catholic group, and several cities in the Philippines, including Manila, declared the pageant persona non grata, a Latin phrase for unwelcome person.
Mm.
And we should do that here. But here we're so
because we talk about
liberal.
We have this freedom of religion, you know. So there is this concept that there really is no way to enforce it, because if that's what that person's faith is, even his faith is anti-faith, he has a constitutional, she has a constitutional right to be anti-Christ.
Anyway, here's another article from My Christian Daily, and I wanted to read this. It says, a pastor steps into a lion's cage to prove his power of Daniel over lions.
Mm-hmm.
So not too long ago, a Nigerian blogger caused a stir after he posted a video of a pastor in a lion's den proving he has the power of Daniel.
Oh, Lord
Jesus.
Like
Daniel did in the biblical times.
And when it wasn't Daniel's power, Daniel didn't shut the lion's mouth. God did.
And there's a picture posted of him in this, you know, in the article and on the video and stuff. And it was going viral across Africa, which appears to show a Nigerian pastor inside of the cage of lions as his congregation watched on.
Ooh.
But there's a catch.
I know there is.
The man in the cage is not a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
He is a zookeeper.
Yeah. No. Well, his pastor can be a zookeeper. Maybe he's
no. Oh, he wasn't a pastor. He was just a zookeeper. The BBC said they identified the man, and he's not a church leader at all.
He had the food, and the lions were saying, "Okay, if he stepped in there without dinner, I think he would be dinner."
I'm telling you. Well, anyway, I don't know how much time we're going to have, but I wanted to get to a couple of devotionals. Mm-hmm. You know how people just share their devotionals with text or email or or whatever. There's a lot of devotionals out there, and someone shared this with me on text, and then they gave their opinion about it, you know, asked me a question. So the prayer was, Father God, thank you so much for bringing us through another beautiful day. Lord, before we start this day, we confess to you all our sins that we have committed against thee. Please forgive us and cleanse us with the blood of Christ. Lord, starting today, we choose not to worry over the things that are beyond our control. We place everything in your hands because we can't rely on our own strength. In Jesus' name, amen. So then this person added on the bottom, does this saying mean that you can't, or how did she put it? She said, evidently people feel like people can't live without sinning.
Right. A lot of people feel that way. They feel as if no matter what, they confuse the salvation, they confuse the spiritual part with the natural. So when the Lord saves a person, he saves you from sin. And the Lord says you can be holy and be perfect as he is holy and he's perfect. So can we, because it's the Holy Spirit that keeps us. And how does God count perfection? He counts perfection according to how we receive him in our heart, how we worship the Lord from our heart. If we give our heart 100% to God, nothing wavering, that's how the Lord counts perfection.
Well, I want to talk in detail about that particular prayer or devotional. I want to, because I have some thoughts on it, and then some scriptures came to me about it. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to, because we ran out of time, we're going to have to continue next week.
Yes, praise the Lord, and let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. This week's verse of the day comes from Isaiah 55:11, and it reads, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Ain't God all right?
God is all right.
Praise the Lord. Last week's food for thought was, what doesn't a man know? And the answer is his time. And that answer can be found in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 12. And it reads, for man also knoweth not his time. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. So nobody knows anything about what's going to happen to you, what's your time.
Unless the Lord reveals it.
This week's food for thought is, I want you to finish this verse. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But what? Finish that verse. Hint, the Bible. And that's food for thought.